Good evening and welcome to Life Together. We do believe that life is best lived in community. Life is better together. And we are excited for you to be here tonight for this evening's get together. Tonight is going to be divided into three parts. Got some exciting things happening in World Impact that I want to share with you as we get started. We've got a great testimony that's going to begin with a news report that aired here in Milwaukee just about last week, I think. We're going to show that to you, and then we're going to end with a short devotion out of God's Word. As we jump in tonight, I want to show you on your tables, there's two or three of these. This is our Encourage a Missionary card for 2018. We did these in our Sunday morning groups this past weekend, and we have a few left. And I'm going to ask you to jump on and help us get these over the finish line. Here's what we do. We've done this for years and years and years here, and it is a favorite thing that happens each year around Thanksgiving or Christmas time. We select five people, five missionary households that are working in the United States. Many of them are church planters. They could be someone who's reaching out to a special people group in Wisconsin or some other part of the country. And we address 100 cards to their name. And we ask you to take out the card, and you'll find taped inside a $1 bill. This is not your tip. What we ask you to do is to write a short note of encouragement to the missionary whose name is on the address on the front of your envelope. This one's upside down. And on your tables is a sheet that has the biographies of the five missionary households that we are sending cards to this year. This is a completely optional thing. In addition to that, if you'd like to add a couple dollars or a check to this card, whatever God lays on your heart, you close it up, seal the envelope. We have a box in the back. It's a white box. You can drop these in on your way out tonight, or you can put them in the offering. We also have had people say that they'd really like to think about it, or they feel led to put a check in and they don't have their checkbook, so we trust you. If you want to take this card home with you and fill out the card at home, the stamp is already on there. You can drop it in your mailbox and send it. So there's, like I said, two or three cards on every table. If you would just around your table take ownership of these cards and make sure that they all get filled out tonight so we have no more leftovers, that would be fantastic. We've had many reports over the years of missionaries just incredibly blessed to open their mailbox. If the timing is right, they should arrive right before Thanksgiving. They open up their mailbox and there are dozens and dozens of cards stuffed in there. Missionaries have told us over the years that these cards have come at just the right time. Sometimes it's the notes. These workers may feel discouraged because they're trying to start something and it seems like there's no traction. And these notes of encouragement, letting them know that we're behind them, arrive at just the right time. It's also been missionaries telling us that they weren't sure how they were going to do Christmas for their kids or how they were going to get home to see grandma and grandpa this year. And then the financial blessing arrived at just the right time. We once again believe this year for the five missionary households that we've selected, that these cards are going to arrive not a day late, not a day early, but right on time for these friends. So thank you for that. As a church family, we have been deeply involved in what's happening in Panama. We have some great friends there, Tara and Garrett Kenyon. God has given them incredible open doors to reach out to young adults, to teenagers. They are bringing the message of Christ into secular high schools. And they are granted the permission to share the message of Christ. Do you know why? The principals have found, the administrators have found, that when they come in and share, there is a tangible difference in the days and weeks that follow those assemblies. And they say, we want more of that. So here are missionaries, and I see Catherine in the back. I know you went into these assemblies. You've seen these. You've seen how they're received. They're welcomed with open arms. A few years ago, we invested, I believe, $15,000 or $20,000 in a place called El Refuge that Garrett and Tara opened in right in the heart of Panama City. And the idea would be that teenagers could come to this place to learn practical skills, to connect with others, to be prayed for, to have counseling in the hours, you know, those critical hours that are right after the end of the school day. The Kenyans, just a day or two ago, posted this 30-second video of what they're seeing at El Refuge, which you are major investors in, and I wanted to show this video to you as a thank you, and then I'm going to read a note that they sent to us. So if we could play that video. Dear Pastor Jerry and friends at Oak Creek, we want to thank you for your generous and faithful support over the past 14 years. We are honored to be an extension of your kingdom ministry here in Panama, reaching hurting students. Together, we have seen countless lives restored and transformed by the power and love of Christ. We are currently receiving 15 to 20 students three times a week at El Refuge. We are shocked that we are currently having more boys than girls who want to spend their extra time with us. Pause. When they first started doing this work, it seemed like the girls would come in huge numbers, but the boys seemed very resistant. So what a praise report that they're starting to see transformation in the lives of young men there in Panama. Thank you for walking this journey with us and helping to make this dream possible. What an honor it is to influence these precious lives. With love, Garrett, Tara, Malachi, and Titus. Can we give the Lord some praise for this? A few weeks ago in October, a hurricane came and swept through West Florida. Like with most natural disasters, for a few days or even a few weeks, we see it all over the news. We see reports, we see pictures in our Facebook feed, Instagram, Twitter, and then it starts to fade away, and for those of us who aren't living there, it becomes out of sight, out of mind. For our brothers and sisters in Christ in West Florida, there are more than 12 churches that were either heavily damaged or completely destroyed. Now that the TV cameras have rolled out and some of that initial response has pulled away, they're still left with these incredible messes. I want to show you another short video now. This is some photos from our friends in West Florida to give you a picture of what their churches look like today. And as you're looking at these photos, as you're looking at this video, I want you to think about what seeing something like this or going through something like this would be like if this were our own church family, if we were to walk in and see our own building in this sort of state. So check this out. Thank you. I'm going to ask you tonight if you would keep our friends in West Florida in your prayers as they rebuild. You have to imagine that every church family that's going through this, in addition to seeing this at where they worship, is also experiencing this at their own homes. And some of you have friends or relatives who are in that area that are in this very difficult place right now. We get email blasts with opportunities for teams to go and serve pretty much every week, and West Florida continues to be on the list. As the one who plans our reach teams, I like everything to be neat and tidy. I like us to be, you know, months and months ahead in planning so you guys can plan, so you can select the teams you want to go on. You can block your vacation time off. So when things are not neat and tidy, it makes me anxious. We already have our teams that are locked and loaded for 2019, but I keep seeing these messages that they really need people. So this weekend, I picked up the phone and I called the missionary who's coordinating down there, and I said, I see that you're on the list almost every week. Tell me what you need. And he said, could you have 300 people here tomorrow? I said, I don't think we could do that, but we will do our best. So I want to let you know right now, we are working with our team here and we're working with some folks there to mobilize a team as quickly as possible. It will probably be after January 1st when we actually will go, probably be for about a week. We'll drive down there so we can bring tools and equipment. One of the things that they've shared with us is that it's difficult on them if a team shows up and they don't have any stuff to do work with. I would just ask that right now that you would begin to pray about going to Florida for a week, and that you would be given favor with any hurdles that you might have to overcome with your employer or whatever it might be to be able to go down there. I'm more and more convinced that one of the main reasons that we send teams all over the world is to be encouragers at just the right time for the people we come in contact with. So I'm more interested in those who are willing than those who are skilled. If you have a heart and you say, I would love to just go down there and encourage them, great. If you have some other skills, even better. Men and women, if you have a heart to go, we don't want to do anything to hold you back. Minimum age is 14 probably, so if you have a student in high school who you might want to bring with you, you can just begin to pray on that, see if God is calling you to go and serve in Florida for a week, and I hope within the next week or so that we'll have some details to share with you. I also want to let you know that we do keep a reserve fund at church so that when there is an emergency somewhere in the world, somewhere in our country, we can respond right away and help them financially to get back on their feet. The next step, though, for us in this area is to send some people. All right, we have one more video for you to see tonight, and I'm really excited to share this with you. This popped up in my Facebook feed, and I shared it last week. If we're not Facebook friends, we can be. So, the average time for watching a Facebook video is 10 seconds. So if you're watching beyond 10 seconds, you know it's something really good. Watch the whole thing. I'm watching this great story, and then in the middle of the news report, my friend Raymond Rivera shows up in the video. He is a person that worked behind the scenes to make this incredible moment happen where a person on the police force was reunited with someone who he shot 20 years ago. Now the officer is the chief of police, and the person on the other end is doing some great work for God. So we're going to show this video, and then Raymond is here tonight, and you're going to get an inside scoop, the story behind the story, right after this video is done.
Batan shot by the chief and thankful for it. This is the story of a man who went from a life of crime to life in the church.
The I-Team's Casey Geraldo sat down with Chief Alfonso Morales and a man he shot. She tells us how their journeys have changed some 20 years later. Casey.
That's right, Stephen Carroll. It's an unbreakable bond forged from a bullet. Once on opposing sides, this is a friendship story like no other.
Hey, how are you? man. How's it going?
It's a moment of camaraderie when Alfonso Morales and DeAndre Armour say hello.
Just keep seeing you in passing, but I haven't been able to sit and talk, chat.
Both men changed by the 21 years they've known each other.
And I'm going to tell you something. He looks the same.
The chief and the churchgoer met on this day in June 1997. Then a police captain and a convicted criminal.
Anything that could have went bad, went bad.
Aiming their guns at each other.
We're trying to kill each other.
Undercover police were investigating complaints of drug dealing among suspected gang members last night when they were shot at. Police returned fire and a 19-year-old was hit twice.
We were outnumbered and didn't know how, you know, if we were outgunned.
All I seen is all this blood over me and I thought I was going to die that day.
Armour served 13 years, 5 days in prison for the shooting. He says he changed his life before returning to Milwaukee and becoming a bricklayer. He now runs the men's home for God Touch Milwaukee.
So I'm trying to give back to a community I helped destroy.
It's a change built on something stronger than a bullet. A Bible verse shared with him during his time behind bars.
God showed you his love, that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. I did not understand. I said, do you not know that I shot men in front of churches? I gangbanged inside of churches. I sold my own grandmother crack cocaine. I'm not the kind of person that you will give your life for. I'm the person you throw away.
Ultimately, the message of love resonated.
And when I began to be transformed by that one word, everything changed for me. My thoughts changed, the way I felt about people who once I considered to be enemies.
A now shared belief that unites the men.
From what I've seen on this job, and with my age, you tend to get closer to God.
Morales feels that's who brought them together, with the help of a mutual friend who works with youth at the United Community Center.
The person that I shot and put in prison is out, and he's standing right behind me. And I turn around, and I'm like, oh, my God. And DeAndre greets me with a hug.
Like I said, I once hated authority, and now here I was, you know, embracing authority.
Had shooting him weighed on your mind through those years?
My life on this job and my early years always brought back that, is my turn coming.
Morales' turn did come in a good way. A promotion to the highest level in Milwaukee's police force.
To me, I look at like we've both been raised up.
When you look at each other over these years, how has your image of each other changed?
I don't see the person I saw 21 years ago. I see a person who is a success. A person who, again, that I would see next to me in church. A person that I would see our kids in the same school.
And I no longer see, you know, a person that I once hated, had all this animosity for. I see somebody that's really trying to show and prove that he himself has changed and grown quite a bit.
Raymond, come on up, man. Man, give it up for Raymond tonight. I want you to have the nice microphone. You take the gun. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Life-changing verse. So, man, Raymond, we see you pop up in the middle of that video. How did you get involved with this? What's the story behind the story?
What happened was at that time, he was Captain Morales, and he was the captain of 2nd District in Milwaukee. And I've known him from back in the day in the early 90s. We used to play basketball on the north side. And he came to me one day, and we had lunch at the United Community Center at our restaurant. And he said, Raymond, I heard that you're the gang expert, and you're the person I'm to talk to. And I'm like, I'm not a gang expert. I work with reformed gang members. He goes, well, that's what I mean. I'm like, oh, okay. And he said, Raymond, there's been some bad news. There's some gangsters from Chicago that came down to do some stuff in the south side of Milwaukee. And there was a shootout, and 4 innocent people got killed. And I need to resolve this. Do you know anyone from this particular gang? And I said, actually, I do. And this individual, the only thing is, he's a totally transformed individual. And I began to share DeAndre's testimony. And as I'm sharing who this guy was and what happened to him and that he was involved in a shooting, DeAndre thought that it was a rival gang, and it was actually three undercover officers that were working with Vice Squad with a gang unit. And DeAndre lit up the car. He shot that car up so many times. They backed away, they came back, and then they shot DeAndre over 8 times. What's interesting is that after every shooting, there's something that's called a trajectory measurement of the bullets. A lot of the bullets hit DeAndre, but not in vital organs. But bullet number 7, which we understand in the Bible is it's the perfect number or the number of completion, caught DeAndre in the hip and made him jerk down. Bullet number 8 in the trajectory measurement was headed right at his head. So that's the first miracle there. And after that, I'm explaining the testimony to Captain Morales, and he starts laughing while he's eating, and I'm like, why are you laughing? And he's like, Raymond, I'm the one who shot him 17 years ago at that time. I'm like, what? Are you crazy? And so I'm like, would you like to meet him? And he's like, is he okay? And believe it or not, the police feared DeAndre in the streets. He was a very, very individual that was a very hardened criminal. And I said, Captain, the reason I want you to meet DeAndre is so that you could know that there is a God, and he's alive and very well. Amen. So I set up the meeting a couple weeks later. They met in the foyer area of our building, and they looked at each other, and they just paused, and it was silent, and I'm looking at him. I'm looking at him. I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to kill each other again. And Captain Morales at that time said, I'm so sorry. And DeAndre's like, what are you sorry for? I was the knucklehead out here thinking I owned the streets. And, you know, so they embraced, they hugged. We went downstairs and ate. And I was there for 3 hours, silent, just listening to them catch up. And details. And I was just like, this is a movie. This is crazy. And from that point on, an amazing relationship occurred. So DeAndre was actually facing over 100 years. Then it was dropped down to 40, and he did 13. Year number 1 of 13, someone came to visit DeAndre, a Christian, and he's like, I'm not into that God stuff, but since you came down here, I don't want to waste your time. Do your quick prayer and then get out of my face. The only thing is, it was an anointed individual that when they laid hands on DeAndre, he fell out slain in the spirit. Wow. So he did, amen. He did his 13 years in prison as a believer.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You said that this story that we saw today, the news report, almost didn't happen.
I'm glad you remember that. I was hoping you would have forgotten. That was very scary because we were with the news people from Channel 4, and we were about to enter into the chief, now he's Chief Morales, into his quarters. And DeAndre comes up to me and says, I don't think I want to do this. Like, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? So we pulled over to the side, and I said, what's up? And he had a very good reason. He said, I don't want them to take Jesus out of the story. And I said, DeAndre, I don't think they will. It's up to you, and let's talk to them. And so I went up to the reporter, and I said, This may happen or this may not happen, but DeAndre wants a guarantee that you leave Jesus and God in the story. So God really did get the glory in that, and we were able to work that out. So, amen.
Casey did a great job putting that report together and telling the story. Raymond, many people are in this church today. I can't tell you how many times I've crossed paths with someone, and they say, the reason I'm here is because Raymond invited me. Amen. Is anyone here in this room tonight because Raymond invited you? Okay, 0 for
At
200
least
tonight.
Pretend, please.
It's happened, I promise. You have a very natural way of connecting with people, of getting to know them. And you shared something with me that ever since we talked on the phone last week, I can't get it out of my mind. You said that it's gotten to a point where there's so much spiritual hunger that evangelism has become easy.
We're living in a day and age where you see the news and you see all the stuff that's going on with our personal families, friends, coworkers. It's you can just see that basic values and morals are down the drain. And you would be surprised. And I know some of you, I could sit with you for hours and you all have your stories of how God has used you to minister. And then there's some of you that feel like you want to and you're still holding back. But I'm finding it that we just got to be a good listener and hear people out, but we need to dive in. We need to ask right away if you were to die, you know, if you would go to heaven, I mean, or whatever it is that God's going to give you at that point. One of the things that I told Pastor was that every single morning when I'm done with my devotions and I'm on my knees, I ask God for something. And I say, God, now open the doors of opportunities. And he will give you the strength to do so. As you guys were praising and worshiping, the Lord just began to speak to me. And it got stronger and stronger, the worship. And it's like all I felt was like I was being filled. But for what? Yes, it's to glorify God, but it's to overflow in our community.
Amen. Raymond, thank you so much.
God bless you. Thank you.
Raymond said that word, that people are hungry, hungry. And I began to meditate on that word. And the most famous verse in the Bible that includes the word hunger is in a section of the Bible that we call the Beatitudes, which appears in the Sermon on the Mount. This is in Matthew chapter 5, if you have your Bible and want to turn with me there. Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus, and he's speaking to a huge crowd. Whenever Jesus spoke to a crowd, you had people who were his followers. You also had people who were curious, and you had people who were skeptical, and some that were just downright opponents. So all these people are on the mountainside as Jesus is sharing these profound truths. And let's just open up to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That word righteousness, it's a church word. Simply what it means is that there is a right and wrong in this world, and our Heavenly Father is always on the side of what is right. So when we pursue righteousness, we are pursuing a life that lines up with God's will in God's ways. And Jesus here says that when we go after that hungering of righteousness, that we will experience filling. We will experience satisfaction. As I was diving into this, I saw that there is a difference between hunger and appetite. There's a difference between hunger and appetite. You see, hunger is our natural wiring when it comes to food to desire nourishment. Hunger is steady and largely unchanging. Appetite can be for things that are good or for things that are bad. When it comes to food, our appetite is influenced by what we see, what we smell, based on our past experiences. For example, like maybe grandma used to make this favorite meal for you. Maybe there was apple pie at the end or something like that. You had that experience and no one else quite had the same experience. So you have an appetite for something that others may not have. Appetites change based on our mood, based on our experience. You know, some people wrestle with overeating. They have an appetite. Their appetite for junk food increases when they're stressed. For me, if I've got a deadline pressing and I'm trying to get something done in a hurry, it helps me to have something to just dump in my mouth. Hunger, though, is steady. It's the body's ongoing need for what is nourishing. And there's a great spiritual truth there. See, I believe that we are born, we are naturally wired to desire God. In fact, God's word tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. God will pre-wire us. He will wire us before we're born to desire Him. That is hunger. See, I don't believe we have a hunger for sin. We have an appetite for sin. There's also a place where the word appetite is used. It's in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Let's start with verse 18. For many are walking in such a way that they are enemies of the cross. So they are living a life that is at odds with God's way. For many are walking in such a way that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. I have told you of them, and I tell you again, even weeping. So Paul is crying over people that he has encountered who are living a life that is at odds with Christ. Verse 19, don't miss this. Their destination is destruction. Their God, that's with a little g, their God is their appetite. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. So Paul says, when you feed the appetite of things that are at odds with God, what is the result? Destruction. Destruction. What did Jesus say about when we go after that natural hunger that we have for righteousness? We will be filled. We will be satisfied. Appetites can change. The doctors tell us that if you eat junk food, the more you eat, the more your body craves. Yet this is something that also people who are into fitness, they know this. If you don't feed that appetite for junk and begin to eat healthy foods, you begin to develop an appetite for healthy foods. So while our hunger remains constant, we can begin to eliminate our appetite for that which is at odds with God's and begin to develop an appetite for things that are for God. And many of you in this room would say that there are things that you once desired so much. It kept you up at night. You constantly wanted it. You desired it, but you knew that it was at odds with God. Or maybe you're living in that tonight where you are longing after something that you know is at odds with God. You have this appetite that never seems like it can be quenched. I want you to know that there is freedom from that appetite. That appetite is not from God. What is from God is a hunger, a steady, natural desiring for that which is righteous. One doctor describes physical hunger this way: instinctive and protective, a mechanism that makes sure your body gets what it requires to function well. I believe that's true of the hunger for righteousness that has been placed in our heart. So here's two quick takeaways for tonight. My friend Jeff Papendorf, many of you know Jeff. He is a great example of a follower of Christ. He lives out his faith humbly, quietly. For everything that someone else finds out about, there's probably 25 things that he did for someone else that no one even noticed. One of the things that Jeff does is he always keeps in his work backpack a small package for a homeless person. There's some food in there, and there's a few toiletries. He works downtown, and he parks in one of the surface lots and has to walk a few blocks up to his office. And whenever he encounters someone who's homeless and the Spirit moves in his heart, he's already ready to give them the food, to give them the blessing. He has come prepared to meet their need. What if we were to take that to another level and begin to every day anticipate, like Raymond talked about, every day anticipate that we are going to meet someone who is spiritually hungry? We also have this ugly, selfish nature, right? In my devotions, I like to jot down a verse or two that I've read each day and tuck it in my pocket or keep it somewhere where I can look back on it. I like to do this before church on Sunday to have a verse or two that just comes to mind during our time of worship when we're here together. And I'm going to be honest that I started doing that note card completely selfishly for my own relationship with God. Yet what I began to find is that almost every day I would encounter someone in this building or outside this building who needed that verse. So what if we were just to take that and seize it and grab onto it and say, I'm going to grab a verse every day out of my devotions, out of my Bible reading, which, by the way, we all should be doing every day, and tuck that in my pocket, tuck that in my heart, and say, I'm anticipating, Father, that I'm going to encounter someone today who needs this verse just as much as I do, or maybe even more. And I believe God will be faithful to bring those encounters to you. I've seen it happen in a supernatural way. It happened to me today. A verse I had written down, I encountered somebody today who needed that verse. Put it to the test. The last thing I want to share with you, we do this same teaching in our morning Bible study. If you ever can't make it at night and you're free during the morning, we meet at 10:15 in the multipurpose room. I bring honey dip donuts. It's great. And we showed this news report this morning about Chief Morales and this restoration that's happened almost 20 years later. And someone in that class this morning afterwards came up and said, you know what, I was the basketball coach for Chief Morales when he was a little boy at a Catholic school here in Milwaukee. And here he is all these years later. And Phil said, I remember even then, Chief Morales, now Chief Morales, then, you know, just a boy in Milwaukee, even then he had this obvious heart for other people. So this is a special word for those of you, especially those of you who work with young people, with kids. You never know who you are investing in. You never know what moment you might have with them that you think that you don't even remember it as being a meaningful moment. But they have grabbed on to a word of encouragement that you have given them, and that fuels them for the rest of their life. There are things that all of us would say we vividly remember from our childhood, good or bad, where someone said something, someone did something for us, and that lasted with us for the rest of our lives. So those of you who get to work with young people, what a privilege, what a blessing, and what a responsibility. Father in heaven, we love you so much. We come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we've looked at a big picture tonight of lives being transformed around the world. Father, we thank you for those young people in Panama who are coming to El Refuge. Father, we believe that there are future world leaders whose lives are being transformed through the work of these missionaries working through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we lift up our brothers and sisters in West Florida. Father, when they feel discouraged, may they experience the encouragement of the Lord. Father, as pastors and leaders are working to rebuild their own lives, would you give them strength, supernatural spiritual strength to also lift up and encourage someone else. Father, we are so thankful for this testimony We believe this platform to lift up your name was provided by you, where the police chief and the former criminal were able to sit alongside each other as Christian brothers and talk about the goodness of God's restoring power. And we're also thankful, Father, that you wired us with a hunger for you. Father, I believe that we have many people in this world that they don't even realize that they what the hunger is linked to, but they have a hunger for something more than the life they're living right now. We pray that through us, through another friend, through another believer, that the truth would be shared and their life would be forever transformed. I lift up these conversations to you. I lift up the people in this room, asking that you would bless the rest of their week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hello there, Tom here. And before we wrap up this week, let me just say a big thank you for being part of the Life Together community. We believe that life is better together. Thank you if you are already a subscriber to this podcast. If not, doing that right now would mean so much to me and our team. We also highly value your ratings and reviews. We pray that this teaching has been inspiring, challenging, and encouraging as you discover and become who God created you to be.